ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون صلوات الله In these majalis of Azaw of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I've chosen a very sensitive topic. And as I mentioned earlier, that we believe in unity, but unity does not mean that we ignore history, we don't talk about it, don't discuss the issues. Unity demands that we maintain politeness and the decor in our discussion, even when we disagree with others on these issues. And we have maintained that, you know, language, which is not abusive, but facts have to be mentioned so that people know about it, and the next generation is aware of what happened during the early days of Islam, soon after the wafat of the Prophet. We talked about the succession to the Prophet and the events unfolding after his demise. And my main focus was on the question that why Amir al-Mu'mineen did not resort to sword and fight for his right of Khilafat. We looked at it different angles last night. Basically, the issue was that if Khilafat was the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen, why didn't he accept the proposal of his uncle Abbas, who said, you know, extend your hand to me, I will do bay'at, and as soon as I do bay'at before anyone else, the mission will be accomplished. Nobody can then come forward. Or on the other side, so from those who are hypocrites, you know, you have Abu Sufyan coming to Ali and saying, I know it's your right. And if you want, I will fill the streets of Medina with horsemen and foot soldiers to fight for you. Ali declined the proposal of Abbas, his uncle, as well as the offer of Abu Sufyan. The reason was that, according to Amir al-Mu'mineen, he believed, as we believe as Shias, that Imamat and Khilafat is appointment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he didn't want the Arab, tribal custom as proposed by Abbas to be the basis for his Khilafat. Nor did he want the dubious, you know, offer coming from Abu Sufyan, because Ali was a man of principle. He believed that the end does not justify the means. If the end is haq, even the means to that haq, end has to be also on basis of legitimacy and haq. Salawat. Tonight I would like to go to more sensitive issue, is that why did Ali not resort to this sword? I'll just keep it very simple. It is actually the Shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen. But there's something I wanted to share with you, because we don't really discuss these issues in that detail. You have to realize what was the situation of Amir al-Mu'mineen after the wafat of the Prophet. It was a very precarious situation for him. He looked at the situation, what is going on. On one side, you have the foreign forces, there was still, you know, unfinished business as far as the Eastern Roman Empire and the Muslims are concerned, the battle in Tabuk, where the Prophet wanted to send the army once again, and Osama bin Zayd bin Harisa was appointed the commander of that. And then on the other hand, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen realized within the Ummah itself in the Arabian Peninsula, you had these Bedouin tribes who were very weak in their faith. In Medina itself, there was this fifth columnist. The Munafiqeen was there. You know, Abu Sufyan would be one example of that. And Surah Tawbah talks about the Munafiqeen in Medina. So it's not something we're just making it up. Then you had a group of people like Musaylama al-Kadhdhab, who basically claimed to be a Nabi. And some Arab, Bedouin tribes started moving in that direction. And so with that situation, when Amir al-Mu'mineen realized that the Ummah is not willing to come to me and accept me as the Khalifa, what does he do? Let me give you an example. What was the situation in front of Ali? During the days of Umar ibn Khattab, a case came to him, and I use that as a basis for my, explanation, where the Khalifa was not able to resolve. And so he sought the help of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And the case was that there were two women who came with an infant child, newborn child. Both of them were claiming, this child belongs to me. Those days, you don't have hospitals or midwives in that common method. So there was no witnesses, nothing. And Khalifa didn't know what to do. When Amir al-Mu'mineen was called, of course, he is Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Baba Madinat al-Ilm. And there was a precedence in the example of Sulaiman alayhi salam, the prophet, of a similar case brought to him. So when he talked to them and tried to, find out who is the true mother and who is the fake mother, when he realized no one is really giving any, grounds to let things go, then he said, okay, we will resolve it very easily. He asked, his slave Qambar to come with a sword, and he says, we'll, cut the baby into half. You take one half, you take the other half. Immediately, the fake mother said, yeah, I'm willing with this. This is adil. And the real mother said, no. If this is going to happen, I'll let my child go, give it to her. This is where Ali said, you are the true mother here. Islam is the baby here after the wafat of Rasulullah. The true custodian of Islam is Ali ibn Abi Talib. There are others on the other side, Ghasibin, who would like to take over. And there is a fight going on that is possible. What does Ali do there? As the real custodian of Islam, he is looking at higher goals. And he says, my personal right on the issue of Khilafat is not more important than the survival of Islam. This is where Amir al-Mu'mineen says, I will accept this deprivation of my personal right of Khilafat, and I'll give it up. In a sense, I will not fight with sword for it, because I would like to see that Islam still survive. At least there would be a minority and majority opinions, but the true opinion still would be available for the world till the end of this dunya. Salawat par ne ikbar. In the Shura, when the second Khalifa was dying, he appointed six people arbitrarily, and he put Ali. There is a whole story behind it. We have talked about it previously, that why he included Ali now, and why even Ali accepted to join it. It's a long story. You can go through the archives, and we have talked about it in detail. There at the end, when Ali was denied the Khilafat again, he looked at the other members of the committee, the five of them, and he says, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَنِّي أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِهَا مِنْ غَيْرِي. He says that, certainly all of you here know that I am more rightful for Khilafat than anyone else. But now that you have planned in this way, engineered the whole consultation committee in this way, the members were chosen in that way, he says, وَاللَّهِ لَأُسْلِمَنَّ مَا سَلِمَتْ أُمُورُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He says, as long as, by Allah, as long as the affairs of the Muslims remain intact, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهَا جَوْرٌ إِلَّا عَلَيَّ خَاسَّةً, and there will be no zulm, injustice, except against me only, then I shall be quiet. I accept my mazlumiyat to be, you know, become mazlum as long as the affairs of the Muslims are intact. And this is where we have to realize that was the perspective of Amir al-Mu'mineen as the true custodian of the deen that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. Salawat. But let me further escalate this issue. Did the Prophet of Islam ever give any instructions to Ali? That Ali, when you face this kind of situation, what you should do? We don't talk about it that much. We know the Saqifa history, everything, but these issues are not that much discussed. And it's important to know. We all know the name of Sayyid Razi. Sayyid Razi is the famous alim who compiled Nahjul Balagha. But he was a great scholar. He had other books also. One of his books is known as Khasaisul A'imma, where he talks about the issue of imamat. And there he has a narration with his sanad going all the way through the narrators that he have in the chain to the seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Imam Musa al-Kazim alayhi salam is talking to the first narrator there. And he says, my father was narrating the last days of Rasulullah, what happened. And they, you know, after describing it, he says, I turned to my father. This is Imam Musa al-Kazim turning to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. He says, can you describe what happened later on? Means continuing that narration about the last days. The sixth Imam says, a time came when Rasulullah was looking for Ali. He was not in the room. Nudiya aina Aliyun. So everybody started saying, where is Ali? Where is Ali? Rasulullah is looking for him. Fa'aqbala, then Ali came in. And now Ali is narrating, fankababtu alayhi. I sat down, lowered my ears close to his mouth, to his face. Faqala al-Nabi. Now this is the now, this conversation of Rasulullah to Ali, where he says many things, but I'm just summarizing the main points relevant to my theme, where he says, Ya Akhi, O my brother, أن القوم سيشغلهم عني ما يشغلهم, that when I pass away, when I die, people will be busy with their business. You will be busy with me, but they will be busy with, you know, seeking power. Very quickly, since I reached to this point, let me narrate something I heard from my late father, where he was talking about Muhammad Ali Jinnah, the founder of Pakistan. You know, Muhammad Ali Jinnah was a Shia. And in the main committee that he had around him in the Muslim League, majority were Sunni. But there was a very close supporter and member of the committee who was Shia, you know, Raja Sahib of Mahmudabad. So the main politician was Jinnah, and Raja of Mahmudabad was the financier of this movement of Pakistan. And both of us were Shia. And incidentally, he became the treasurer of the committee there, Raja of Mahmudabad. We are told that once the colleagues there in the committee asked Muhammad Ali Jinnah, what is the difference between Shias and Sunnis? Jinnah Sahib, I'm told, was a very serious guy. He didn't reply. And when he said he doesn't reply, nobody had dare, you know, ask him again. He was silent. After a few days, when there had nothing else to do, he said, you know, someone from you had asked me, what is the difference between the Shias and the Sunnis? He says, the difference is, the day I die, Raja Sahib Mahmudabad will be busy in my funeral rites, and you guys will sit down to look for my successor. He is Shia and you are Sunni. That is the difference. And this is Rasulullah says here, Ya akhi anna al-qawm sayashghuluhum anni ma yashghuluhum. They will be busy with looking for grabbing power. But what should you do at that time? فَإِنَّمَا مَثَلُكَ فِي الْأُمَّةِ مَثَلُ الْكَعْبَةِ. When you say, why didn't Ali go forward? Look at this example. Rasulullah says in his deathbed there to Ali, your example in the Ummah is the example of the Kaaba. إِنَّمَا تُؤْتَى وَلَا تَأْتِي. People go to the Kaaba. The Kaaba doesn't go to the people. It is not for you to go to them and say, you know, accept me as Khalifa or give me Khilafat. No. You are the Kaaba. They have to come to you. وَإِنَّمَا أَنْتَ عَلَمُ الْهُدَى وَنُورُ الدِّينِ وَهُوَ نُورُ اللَّهِ. You are the sign of guidance. You are the light of this religion. And you are the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same words, using the example of the Kaaba, is also seen, because this is a Shia source that I'm quoting, but Ibn al-Athir al-Jazari in his Usd al-Ghaba also, في معرفة الصحابة, also has this narration of the Prophet, where the Prophet says even more clearly in this Sunni version, أنت بمنزلة الكعبة تأتي ولا تؤتى أتؤتى ولا تأتي. You know, you are like the Kaaba. People go to the Kaaba. Kaaba doesn't go to anyone. فإن أتاك هؤلاء القوم فسلموها إليك فقبل منهم. If the people come to you and then hand over the Khilafat to you, you accept it. But if they don't come to you, you don't go to them. Remember that. So Rasulullah already has given instructions to Amir al-Mu'mineen that it is not for you to go and seek Khilafat. It is the duty of the Ummah to come to the doors of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. Then the Prophet continues in his conversation with Ali, Ya Akhi, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَنِ بِالْحَقِّ. O my brother, by that God who has raised me as a prophet on the basis of truth, لَقَدْ قَدَّمْتُ إِلَيْهِمْ بِالْوَعِيدِ بَعْدَ أَنْ أَخْبَرْتُهُمْ رَجُلًا مَا افْتَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ حَقِّكَ وَأَلْزَمُهُمْ مِنْ تَاعَتِكَ. O my brother, I have already conveyed to them the dire consequences. Wa'id means the warning about this issue. And I told them, rajulan, each one of them have been told very clearly about this issue, that what Allah has imposed on them regarding your right and the obligation towards you. Wa kullun ajaba wa sallama ilayka al-amr. And all of them responded positively, and they saluted with the title of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And this is the event of Ghadir he's referring to. When they came, including the second Khalifa's narration, we have Haniyan laka yabna Abi Talib, asbahta maulayi wa maula kulli mu'minin wa mu'mina. That you have become the master of me and all mu'min and mu'mina. Mawla here is not friend. It was not that Ali was the enemy of everyone before that day. The only meaning in the context is the Mawla and the meaning of master. And so Rasulullah said, I already told them and warned them about the dire consequences of opposing you. Wa inni la'alamu khilaf qawlihim. But I also know what they say is not what they are going to do. And then at the end he says, فَإِذَا قُبِثْتُ وَفَرَغْتَ مِنْ جَمِيعِ مَا أُوصِيكُ بِهِ وَغَيَّبْتَنِي فِي قَبْرِي. When you are done with the funeral rites that I've, you know, advised you about it, willed about it to you, and you have put me in my grave, فَالْزِمْ بَيْتَكَ. Stay at home. Don't go out. Stay at home. واجمع القرآن على تأليفه والفرائض والأحكام على تنزيله. Sit down and compile the Quran according to the sequence and the chronology. وعليك, and this is the important part, وعليك بالصبر على ما ينزل بك. And all this suffering will happen on you. I urge you to maintain sabr and patience. حَتَّى تَقْدَمُوا عَلَيَّ, until you come to me on the day of judgment. This is where Rasulullah actually has given these instructions. And so you have to keep in mind. We can sit down and say, oh, why Ali didn't do this or didn't do that? You realize these are the last words of Rasulullah to Ali. Number one, Khilafat is your right. It is duty of the people to come to you. It is not your duty to go and pursue them that I am the Khalifa of the time. And number two, if they oppose you and do zulm on you for the sake of Islam, maintain sabr. But then we come to a point, and I don't blame the people, sometimes they raise this question, that given that he had to maintain patience, but what about the time when they came to the door of Fatima? When they attacked the house, broke the house, the door, injured Fatima, she loses her daughter, her child. At that moment, why didn't Ali do anything? This is a question Sunnis raise these days quite a lot in social media. And from them, she has also started asking this question. So let me share with you also. I never talked about it before. I went to the book of Qasaisul A'imma of Sayyid Razi. Another earlier source that we have, Kitab Sulaym bin Qais. There is disputes about the version which exists now, but it doesn't mean the in entirety it's wrong. And in there is a very interesting narration that Sulaym bin Qais was a companion of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he actually starts with the story of Saqifah right from the very beginning. And he talks about this. He says that when Umar came into the house, where Fatima has been injured in that process when they broke the door and came in, فَوَثَّبَ عَلِيٌّ Ali was not quiet. Those who say, well, what did he do at that time? Ali jumped up on Umar. فَأَخَذَ بِتَلَابِيبِهِ He got hold of his collar. ثُمَّ نَطَرَهُ فَصَرَعُهُ Hold him high and threw him on the ground. فَصَرَاهُ وَوَجْرَ عَنْفُهُ وَرِقْبَتُهُ Then he started hitting the nose and on the neck of Umar وَحَمَّ بِقَتْلِهِ with the intention of finishing him off. فَذَكَّرَ قَوْلُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ At that moment, Ali remembered what Rasulullah had said. In Khandaq, when he sat on the chest of Amr ibn Abd Wud, Amr ibn Abd Wud spat on the blessed face of Amir al-Mu'mineen. For a moment, he became angry. He didn't want his anger to be part of motivation of killing this enemy of Allah. So he moved away, took two steps back, calmed himself down, and then did whatever he did, entirely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Ali. Even now, his wife has been attacked. He had full right to do what he wanted to do. But he is not abd al-dunya. He is abd of Allah, and he is the brother of Rasulullah. فَذَكَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ He remembered Rasulullah at that time. remembered the words of Rasulullah, and then he says to Umar, وَالَّذِي كَرَّمَ مُحَمَّدًا بِالنُّبُوَّةِ يَبْنَ السَّحَاكِ, that, O Umar, in the name of Muhammad, whom Allah honored him with nubuwwat, لَوْلَا كِتَابٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ سَبَقَ, if it wasn't for the command of Allah, which had come down before, وَأَحْدٌ أَحِدَ إِلَيَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, and the will that Rasulullah made with me, I would have shown you that you would not have been able to enter my house. So when we talk about Amir al-Mu'mineen, realize that Ali was not a coward, na'uzu billah. You know, sometimes they use this term in Urdu, they say, ghairat kahan gayi thi? Ali sahib-e-ghairat hai. Ali ke liye Islam ki ghairat sabse aala hai. اپنی مظلومیت کو برداشت کر لیں گے, فاطمہ کی مظلومیت کو برداشت کر لیں گے, اپنے گھر والوں کی مظلومیت کو برداشت کر لیں گے, لیکن اسلام کے بقا کو ہمیشہ نظروں میں رکھیں گے. You have to realize that courage doesn't mean always taking the sword and fighting. The great courage is when you restrain yourself even though you have the power to inflict harm to your opponent. And that was Ali at that moment, who remembered the words of Rasulullah, that when it comes to the issue of Islam, remember sabr, sabr, sabr. And this is where, you know, he even in one of the khutbas, when he became the Khalifa, accepted by the people at that time, where he describes the events of Saqifa, and later on he says, I looked at myself. Do I attack them with my injured arm? Or do I maintain sabr with this gloomy and dark times that I'm going through? He says, I thought about it, and I decided to maintain sabr and patience for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although there was pricking in the eyes and suffocation in my throat, I went through great difficulty, he says, and I saw my inheritance being plundered. We don't realize that if Ali had resorted to sword when his house and family was attacked, it would have been very easy for them, because they were, the Ahlul Bayt were outnumbered. They were oppressed. It would have been very easy for them to kill Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein and enter end the chapter of the family of Rasulullah. We don't realize that sabr that Ali had to do was the sake of survival of this silsila of nubuwwat. The children of Rasul, who will maintain the imamat and khilafat later on. Salawat parne ek baar aur. Amir al-Mu'mineen indeed was a very courageous human being for us. That even after being attacked by Ibn Muljim, you know, it's amazing. At those moments, you don't really think about anyone else. You would be more thinking about yourself, what is happening to you, and what is to be done next to me in order to make my own situation better. But when Ibn Muljim was arrested and he was brought into the masjid while Ali was still there, Hassan and Hussein were there, Muhammad Hanafiya was there, Abbas was there, other children of Amir al-Mu'mineen were there. At that time, Ali looks at Ibn Muljim and turns to his son Hassan and he says, oh my son, look at his eyes. Look at his eyes. You can sense fear in his eyes. I urge you to be lenient with him. I urge you to be careful about his food and drink. Give him whatever you eat and drink. Give him whatever you drink. And this is where Hassan turns to his father and he says, Baba, what he has done, you know, he has basically taken our shelter away from us, and you are advising him. This is where Ali says, Hassan, don't forget, you are from the family of the Prophet. We have to maintain that standard. You are the grandson of Rahmatul Lil Alameen. And this is where, you know, our Imam, then they put him in a blanket and they carry him. When they reached close to the house, especially when the women were waiting for him, because they heard this cry, لَقَدْ إِنْحَدَمَتْ أَرْكَانُ الْهُدَىٰ. He was عَلَمُ الْهُدَىٰ and أَرْكَانُ الْهُدَىٰ. When the pillar of guidance had fallen down, Zainab and Umm Kulsum and other women were there. And this is where we realize that Amir al-Mu'mineen asked his companions, he says to his family members, then asked them to move away, because I don't want the crying of my daughters and women, they're reaching to your ears. Perhaps Ali was giving a message to the people of Kufa, that remember my justice, remember my kindness and my generosity to you. A time will come when Zainab and Umm Kulsum will come into Kufa, but not as the way they are now. They will be brought as prisoners from Karbala, as if Ali was saying to them, at that time, remember my kindness and the way I treated Ibn Muljim with kindness. Be kind and merciful to my daughters and my children. As a Daran Hussein, Imam Kujar Garme Pahjaya Gaya, Kushdir Kibad, आसिम जो तबीब था उस ज़माने में कूफा का, उसको बुलाया गया और उसने आके इमाम के सर पर जो ज़रबत लगी थी उसका मुआयना किया, और जो उन लोगों का तरीक़ा था उस ज़माने में, वहाँ एक बहुत ही सूखी हड्डी थी बकरी की, वो रखी और थोड़ी देर के बाद उसको उठाया। उठाने के बाद उसने जब देखा कि उसमें कुछ ज़र्रात जो है मग़्ज़ के लगे हुए हैं, तबीब ने उसको देखने के बाद कहा कि अली, मेरी एडवाइस यही है कि आप अपनी वसीयत को शुरू कर दें, और इसमें तलवार में जो जहर था वो मग़्ज़ तक पहुंच चुका है, और आहिस्ते आहिस्ते पूरे बदन में ये सरायत कर जाएगा, बचने की कोई उम्मीद नहीं है, लिहाजा आप वसीयत करें। फिर इमाम हसन से कहते हैं कि देखो, अली को ग़िज़ा के तौर पे कुछ मत देना, बस उन्हें दूध दे दिया जाए, उसके अलावा कुछ न दिया जाए। अज़ादारान हुसैन, जब भी तीमारदारी के तौर पे प्याला दूध का जब आता था अली के सामने, उस हालत में भी अली के इस करम और उनके शुजात और उनके मेहरबानी को देखे कि प्याले में दूध आधा खाने के बाद प्याले को हटा देते थे और कहते थे कि ये बकिया जो है इब्ने मुल्जिम को जाके दे दो, कहीं ये ना हो कि मेरी तीमारदारी में तुम इब्ने मुल्जिम का ख्याल न करो और भूल जाओ। अदार हुसैन, वहाँ पर थोड़ी देर के बाद अहले हरम ने जब बाबा को बार बार मौला को गश होते हुए जब देखा है, तो एक बार दोबारा फिर बुलंद आवाज़ में सब ने रोना शुरू कर दिया। आवाज़ को सुनते ही असबक बिन नबाता, जो इमाम के बहुत ही करीबी सहाबी थे, जो दरवाज़े पे बैठे थे, उन्होंने भी बुलंद आवाज़ में उनसे सब्र नहीं हुआ, रोने लगे। इमाम हसन आते हैं असबक के पास,
और कहते हैं कि क्या बेबा बाबा ने ये नहीं कहलवाया है, तुमने सुना नहीं है कि यहाँ से तुम चले जाओ, जब वक्त आएगा हम तुम्हें बुलाएंगे। उस वक्त असबग ने कहा कि मौला की इस कैफियत को देखने के बाद उनके दूर रहने की हिम्मत नहीं हो रही है, मेरे लिए आप इजाज़त ले कि एक बार और ज़ियारत कर सके। इमाम हसन अंदर जाते हैं, बाबा से जब इजाज़त मिली असबक को अंदर बुलाया और अमीरुल मोमिनीन ने कहा, असबक क्या तुमने सुना नहीं कि मैंने कहा था सब चले जाओ। उस वक्त असबक ने कहा कि मौला आपको दोबारा देखने के इश्तियाक था। उस वक्त असबक का बयान है, मैंने उस पट्टी को देखा जो इमाम के पेशानी पर बंधी हुई थी, उस पर ऑलरेडी जो है उसके रंग और इमाम के चेहरे में भी रंग जो है कोई फर्क नजर नहीं आ रहा था, इसलिए कि खून अब जो है उसमें भी जहर के आसार नमूदार हो गए थे। रोना शुरू कर देते हैं, मौला कहते हैं असबक तुम क्यों रो रहे हो, तुम्हारा मौला तो जन्नत की तरफ जा रहा है, ये तमाम मसाइब से वो आजाद हो जाएगा। असबक कहते हैं मौला हम इसलिए नहीं रो रहे हैं तो क्या आप वहां जाने वाले हैं, हम तो अपने इस यतीमी पर रो रहे हैं कि अब आप हमारे सर पर साए के तौर पे नहीं रहेंगे। अदादारान हुसैन आखिर में शब 21 में इमाम के घर वाले सभी जमा हो जाते हैं और इमाम ने वसीयत शुरू की। आम वसीयतों के बाद इमाम हसन के सुपुर्द सबको किया, फिर इमामत के सिलसिले का जिक्र किया कि हसन तुम्हारे बाद जो हमने अमानात दी हैं, जो रसूलुल्लाह की तलवार और जो तबर्रुकात हैं वो तुम हुसैन को देना, और हुसैन से कहते हैं कि जब तुम्हारा आखिर वक्त आएगा तो रसूल ने कहा था कि तुमसे हम बताएं कि तुम्हारा बेटा ये 5 साल का ज़ैनुल आबिदीन उसके हवाले करना। और फिर मौला इमाम ज़ैनुल आबिदीन से कहते हैं कि अब तुम्हारा वक्त आए तो तुम अपने बेटे मोहम्मद बाकर के हवाले करना इन तबर्रुकात को। आखिर में जब सुबह का वक्त करीब होता है सब देखते हैं, खुद ज़ैनब का बयान है कि हमने देखा कि बाबा की पेशानी पर ज़्यादा ही पसीना जो है शुरू हो गया। मैंने बाबा से कहा बाबा ये क्या कैफियत हो रही है, अली ने कहा कि बेटा अब जाने का वक्त आ चुका है, देखो तुम्हारे नाना आ चुके हैं, देखो अजी हमज़ा आ चुके हैं, मेरे भाई जाफर आ चुके हैं, तुम्हारी माँ वालदा आ चुकी है, ये सब मेरे इस्तकबाल के लिए तैयार है। बस वो वक्त आया, अली के ज़बान पर कलिमात जारी हुए, आहिस्ते आहिस्ते जब खामोश है सब ने देखा कि अली की रूह जो है मलए आला की तरफ परवाज कर जाती है। अदादारान हुसैन अली का जनाजा जब उठाया गया है, दुश्मन के बोग़्ज़ और दुश्मनी का वो लेवल था कि इमाम हसन ने दर हकीकत 3 ताबूत रवाने किए हैं मुख्तलिफ डायरेक्शंस में, ताकि दुश्मन को अंदाज़ा न हो कि अली की कब्र कहाँ है, इसलिए कि अली इतना मजलूम थे कि ये ख़तरा था कि दफन के बाद भी ये अली की कब्र को खोदकर अली की बेहरमती करना चाहेंगे। बस आखिर में सिर्फ घर वालों के साथ और जिस करीबी असहाब के साथ जनाजा उठता है, सामने कोई नहीं था, मलाइका ने जनाजे को सामने की तरफ से उठाया था, जहां जो जगह आज मदफन है अली का नजफ में, वहां एक कब्र तैयार थी, अली को दफन कर दिया गया। दफन करने के बाद इमाम के एक सहाबी सासा बिन सोहान जो शायर और ख़तीब भी थे वो खड़े ہوتے ہیں، علی کی قبر کی مٹی کو اٹھاتے ہیں، اپنے سر پر ڈالتے ہیں، پھر ایک تقریر کرتے ہیں پرسے کے طور پہ، حسن اور حسین سے مخاطب ہوتے ہیں، اولاد علی کو رلاتے ہیں، بس حسین سے کہیں گے مولا علی زین العابدین وہاں قریب نہ ہو، اس لیے کہ آپ نے اپنے بابا کو دفن کیا، وہاں کوئی مرثیہ پڑھنے والا بھی ہے، لیکن زین العابدین جب کربلا سے چلیں گے نہ بابا کو دفن کر سکے نہ بابا پر مرثیہ پڑھ سکے۔ بات میں حسین